This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. All praise for Allah. We praise Him. We thank Him. We ask Him for His help, and we ask Him for His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah Ta'ala from the evil of ourselves and the evil of our actions. Whoever is guided by Allah, then no one can misguide them, and whoever is misguided, then no one can guide them except for Allah Ta'ala. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his final messenger. Amma ba'd. First of all, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So subhanAllah, dear sisters, the topic that I've chosen to speak about today is about seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And subhanAllah, these days, until now, many Muslims are not aware of just how great and how much blessings are in these days. Like, we see, subhanAllah, that when Ramadan's coming, you find the masajid full, you know, coming to the lessons and being concerned about how to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Shahr Ramadan. And part of the reason of that is because, subhanAllah, the days of Ramadan obviously are attached to one of the pillars of Islam, which is the Siyam, the fasting. But as for the days of Dhul Hijjah, the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, a lot of people until now are not aware of just how much virtue is in these days. To the level, subhanAllah, that in fact, these days are more greater in reward and more greater in virtue than the days of Ramadan. SubhanAllah. So this is why, Yani, we should be, just like we're worrying about when Ramadan's approaching, how to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, similarly, we should be, you know, very concerned about how to make the most of these 10 days, inshallah. And also, subhanAllah, just first of all, to reflect upon, you know, something which here that is that, subhanAllah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah ta'ala, first of all, as we know from His beautiful names, He is Al-Kareem. He is the most generous. SubhanAllah, He is the most generous to his servants. And from that generosity is that He has created certain times and certain places which are filled with barakah. They are filled with barakah. And they are, you know, Allah Ta'ala has multiplied the rewards done in those times. And this is truly a generosity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because, you know, subhanAllah, Allah knew that not everybody is going to be able to live very long in Islam. Not everybody will be blessed with having a long life. SubhanAllah. So from the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is made certain times and places that good deeds done in them are multiplied, you know, far more than, you know, than usual. We know that in usual times, just doing a righteous deed is multiplied from 10 to 700 times. But in these special times where there is so much barakat, you know, they're filled with barakat, then subhanAllah, Allahu alam, how great is the reward. In fact, as we're going to come to see, that there is no deed done in these days of Dhul Hijjah which is more loved or greater to Allah than a deed done in, you know, in these days. Like, there's no deed which is done which is more loved and greater in reward than a righteous deed done in these days of Dhul Hijjah. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So we know that Allah Ta'ala has made certain times and places which are filled with blessing. And from these times is these days of Dhul Hijjah. The days of Ramadan are blessed. All the days of Ramadan are blessed, but the greatest blessing in Ramadan are in the nights. The last 10 nights of Ramadan, these are the greatest in virtue and they are the most filled with barakah, and they are the best nights of the year. But as for the days, then there are no greater days, subhanAllah, than these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah that's coming. Inshallah, bi'idhnillah, it starts on Monday, bi'idhnillah. So we should pay our utmost attention to trying to get the most out of these days. So what I'm going to do today, inshallah, basically start off speaking about the virtues of these days, and then inshallah move into what we should be trying to concentrate on doing in order to seek nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during these days. Because there are specific things that's been mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah of things we should, you know, try to pay attention to bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay, so from the virtues, like we were saying, from the things that shows you the virtue is, like, for example, there's a hadith narrated in Ibn Hibban, it's a sahih hadith, in which the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the best days of this dunya are these 10 days. So these days are the best days of this life. They are the best days of this life. They are the best days in the year. That's how much we should be, you know, paying attention to realize no better days pass by you than these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, subhanAllah. And as you can see, I'm saying 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. So it includes the Eid day. The Eid day is still a day of trying to seek nearness to Allah. Like, a lot of people forget about that. On Eid, a lot of people fall into sins and doing all, and just forget about it, and, you know, just, they just thought, you know, think that it's a day of just pure enjoyment and forgetting about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that's not how it is in Islam. That's the beauty of Islam, that we have days of celebration, but there's a balance. Not like the disbelievers. Their days of celebration are complete, you know, indulging in every lust and desire and forgetting about Allah in the next life. Whereas in Islam, we've got that balance where Allah says, enjoy the halal that I have bestowed upon you, but at the same time, there's still the remembrance of Allah. That's part of it. You know, just because you're allowed to enjoy the blessings which Allah has bestowed upon you of the halal things, but that doesn't mean I forget about Allah and just go into a state of ghafla, of heedlessness. So that, remember that the 10th day, which is the Eid al-Adha, that's still a day included in these 10 days of seeking nearness to Allah and trying to perfect your righteous actions to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. So I just want to add that point. So in a hadith in Bukhari, narrated by Ibn Abbas, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that there's no days which righteous deeds are more beloved to Allah than these 10 days. So some of the Sahaba, they asked him, not even jihad for the sake of Allah? Not, because, you know, we know that jihad is the pinnacle of Islam. Someone going out, you know, subhanAllah, ready to give up their life and their wealth for the sake of Allah. This is from the pinnacle of Islam, to this amount of, you know, sacrifice for the sake of Allah. So the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, not even jihad for the sake of Allah, except for that person who went out with their life and their wealth and didn't come back with any of that. So now, in other words, they gave everything for the sake of Allah. You can't, you know, no one can beat that deed. But anything lower than that, subhanAllah, then that's how virtuous and heavy in the scales are righteous deeds in these 10 days. So that's why we should not waste our time in these days. We should try to fill them with as much amal as salihat, as much righteous deeds as we can, inshallah. Like, put a program, just like you're thinking about a program for Ramadan, same thing, you should be thinking about, what am I going to be doing in these 10 days? What are some of the things I can do, make a program for myself? We should be thinking about that. And there's also another hadith similar to this, which said, there's no deed which is more precious in the sight of Allah, nor greater in reward than done in these days. So there's similar hadiths that mention, just emphasizing how great are the righteous deeds done in these days. Okay, and from the things that indicate the virtue of these days too is Allah Ta'ala in Surah Al-Fajr, he says, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ. So some of the Mufassirin, like the people of Tafsir, they said, وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ, like some of them said, this is Allah swearing by the last 10 days of Ramadan, but some of them said, this is swearing by the days of Dhul Hijjah. And from them was Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. He said, for example, that ash-shafi, because Allah says, ash-shafi wal-watr, he said, by the even and the odds. So he said, what does it mean? Someone asked him, what does it mean? And he said, it means ash-shafi is the night of Arafah, which is the ninth, and al-watr is the night of al-adha, the night of Yom al-Nahr. Okay, but let's just go back to what we're talking about regarding these virtues, just to emphasize to you how great are these days. So from the things that shows you how great are these days is that Allah made these days the days of Hajj. You know, Allah has chosen these days from the days of the year as days of Hajj. So you find, subhanAllah, all these millions of people coming from every part of the earth for the sake of Allah to gather at the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this purpose of the pilgrimage, subhanAllah. So this is again a sign of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the greatness in these days. And also we know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he urged us in many ahadith, you know, to increase our righteous deeds as much as possible in these days. So all of these things are showing you the emphasis on these days. And from them also, you know, well, I'll come to that after, but, you know, how much we should be focusing in particular on doing a lot of dhikr in these days, which I'm going to come to, inshallah. So the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrated in a hadith in Ahmad, narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar, he said that there's no days greater in the sight of Allah and which righteous deeds are more beloved to him than these days. So during this time, increase in your saying of La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, and Alhamdulillah. So it shows in general that like one of the main things you should be trying to do is focusing on doing a lot of dhikr wherever you go, in the car, picking up your kids from school, dropping them off somewhere, sitting in a doctor's surgery. Try to focus on a lot of dhikr as much as you can. And you know the best dhikr is recitation of the Quran. So that's why we know, that I'll come to that again after, but just in general, I'm speaking from now, that focus on dhikr, filling the days with dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says, وَيَذْكُرُ اسْمُ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ. Allah ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, that these are days to make dhikr of Allah in the days which are known. He says, and mention your Lord in the name, the days which are known, they're known days. And these known days are أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ, are the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Okay, from the things that shows you how great are these days, okay, is the fact that within these days is the best and greatest of these days is the day of Arafah, Yawm al-Arafah, which is the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. This is the greatest days of the year. SubhanAllah, this is the greatest days of the year because in this day, Allah Ta'ala frees more people from the fire than any other day. Now, you remember in Ramadan, we know that the last 10 days, you know, especially in the last 10 days, you know, but subhanAllah, in the month of Ramadan, but subhanAllah, in particular this day of Arafah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees more people from the fire than any other day. And this hadith is narrated in Muslim, in which, you know, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there is no day on which Allah ta'ala frees more people from the fire than the day of Arafah. So this is something to keep in mind on the day of Arafah. This is from the virtues of Arafah. So imagine that Arafah is included within these 9 days. Okay, so I want to just talk a little bit about the virtue of the day of Arafah to show you how great are these days. So what you can think about with these days is they kind of basically build up. It starts off, you know, with the normal, 8 days. And then as the night comes, it becomes really great. Like these days become greater and greater in enormity in their virtue, you know. So subhanAllah, the 9th day of like, which is the day of Arafah, this is the day where subhanAllah, you in the Hajj, all the pilgrims, the Hujjaj, they're all staying in the land of Arafah, you know, crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begging him for his forgiveness, humbling themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, making as much dua as they can. You know, this is that day, you know, subhanAllah. So this is the day, also as mentioned in Muslim, how on this day, Allah Ta'ala descends in the way that befits His majesty and perfection. And He, subhanAllah, He expresses His pride to the Malaika of that scene on Arafah because of how many people are gathered there, their sincerity in how much they want to be freed from the fire and how much they want Jannah and how much they want the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He expresses His pride to the malaika of this scene, and he says, what do they want? And of course, he knows most what they want, subhanAllah. And the malaika say, all they want is to be forgiven and to be freed from the fire. And so he says, subhanAllah, you know, it indicates that they will have that as long as they went there sincerely. So we don't know how many people, sisters, come to the land of Arafah covered with sins, but they leave as pure as the day their mother gave birth to them. I mean, the day of Arafah is the main time of, it is the main part of Hajj, it is the main pillar of Hajj. And it is the most, you know, it's from the most important days, you know, of the Hajj, besides the day of Nahr, which is the following day. So we see how the Messenger of Allah spent that day. If you look at the seerah and you study what the Messenger of Allah did on this particular day, you'll see that he didn't leave a moment except he was raising his hands in dua. Even someone offered him a drink on Yom Arafah to see if he was fasting or not. And even when he was drinking, he didn't even let his other hand go down. Like he drank, but he left his hand staying up in dua. That's how much he was staying, raising his hand in dua. And that's why the sunnah for the person in Hajj is not to fast for that day of Arafah. Why? Because the scholars said, the wisdom of that is they need as much energy as they can to make as much dua as they can. But for us, we should try and fast Arafah because, as I was going to come to, we know that fasting the day of Arafah is expiation of sins for the previous year and what's left of the following year. Right? So, but for the people who's in Hajj, it's not sunnah for them to fast on the day of Arafah. But what I was trying to demonstrate right now is how much the Messenger of Allah was focusing on dua in the day of Arafah, especially like from the time after you pray Dhuhr and Asr at the land of Arafah, spend the rest of the day as much as possible in dua and dhikr and istighfar until the sunset. Okay, so subhanAllah, from the virtues of this day of Arafah as well, this is the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed al-Islam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Ummah. And the verses of the Quran came down in which Allah Ta'ala says, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam deena. That this day I have perfected your religion for you. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, and I have perfected, you know, I have completed my favor and blessing upon you. Wa raditu lakum al-Islam deena, and I have been pleased with Islam for you. For your religion. So this is from a virtue. This all happened on the day of Arafah. Another thing that happened on the day of Arafah also, sisters, this is the day when subhanAllah, Allahu Ta'ala, he took the ahd from the Bani Adam. He took the covenant from the Bani Adam and he said to them, Alastu bi Rabbikum? And everyone said, Bala. So the hadith about this is narrated in Ahmad, narrated by Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that Allah Ta'ala, he took the covenant from all of the children of Adam on the day of Arafah. And that is that, you know, he brought forth from the loins of Adam all of his descendants until Yawm Qiyamah, and he made them all bear witness that he is their Lord, so that everybody will be born with a natural instinct to know Allah and worship him alone. So that no one can say, I didn't know anything about it. Because before coming into this world, we've all taken this covenant with Allah. Allah said, Alastu bi Rabbikum? He said, Am I your Lord? And every single soul bore witness, Bala. They all said yes. They all testified that that is their Lord, who you worshipped alone. And that's why everybody has a natural instinct to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? That's from the fairness that Allah created human beings. You know, he created, it's fairness, that everybody has a natural instinct to know Allah. But it's their own stubbornness and arrogance that they turn away from it. So that's also from the greatness of this day of Arafah. Okay, another thing that shows you the greatness of this day is the best dua is on the day of Arafah. The best dua is on the day of Arafah. So like, from the times to get your dua accepted is the dua on Arafah. Now that's not just for the people in Hajj. A lot of people think, oh, you know, Arafah is just for people in Hajj. No, even for us, we know from the Salaf that they would persist in dua on the day of Arafah, especially in the afternoon, you know, as you're coming towards Al-Maghrib, you know, after Asr, you know, like that time to really persist in making a lot of dua on that day. And the Messenger of Allah said in the Hadith in At-Tirmidhi, he said the best of dua is the dua on the day of Arafah. And he also said that the best of the du'as to say, in another narration he says, the best of, or in the same narration it continues on, said, the best of du'as is the du'as that was said by me and the other prophets and messengers, which is to say, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. So this is from the best du'as. So to repeat that over and over again, you know, try as much as you can. Like, you can make normal du'a for yourself, for the akhirah, for your family, whatever. but also try to say لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك له الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. Say it over and over again as much as you can. Try to get tired for the sake of Allah to show that getting nearness. Like those who judge sisters, they're in the land of Arafah, in their state of Ihram, they're begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, and just that the fact that they've left their homes and left their, you know, everything for the sake of Allah, that is a sacrifice that they're giving to Allah, like in order to be saved from the hellfire. We haven't made such sacrifices by staying at home. So what do, as sharing with them? We fast that day as long as we're able. And, you know, whether we're able or not able to fast, we make a lot of dhikr and try to make a lot of dua as well, inshallah, to try to not miss out on also being from those who are, inshallah, you know, saved from the fire, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay, and as we said before, from the virtues of this day of Arafah is the fact that the person who fasts it, the Messenger of Allah told us, whoever fasts the day of Arafah, is they get the forgiveness of Allah for the previous year and the year that's left over. Okay, so that's regarding the ninth day. But then we come to the tenth day, which is the Yom al-Adha. And like I said to you before, a lot of people think, oh, you know, once the 9 days are over, they just think, oh, it's Eid now, so that's okay, we can just forget about righteous deeds. But they don't realize that it says 10 days. All the hadith said 10 days. It doesn't say 9 days, it says 10 days. Okay, so we know it's the whole 10 days are included in the virtue as far as being blessed and having your rewards so greatly multiplied. This is the greatest of all days. For the people in Hajj, the 10th day is the greatest of all days. Why? Because this is called Yom al-Nahr. It's called the day of sacrifice. Like, for the people in Hajj, they sacrifice their hadi, which is like the sacrificial animal that is part of their Hajj. For us at home, we have to all try to do the Udhiyah, which is also another, a different type of sacrifice for someone who's a resident, like they haven't travelled to Hajj. But, you know, what makes the day of Nahr the greatest is because of all the acts of worship that are combined together on this day. So, because on the day of Nahr, or, you know, for the people in Hajj, the day of Nahr, all the main activities of Hajj take place. Like you've come back from Muzdalifah, so now they go and stone the Jamarat. They do Tawaf, you know, they do Tawaf al-Ifada, they do Tawaf, they're doing Asai, you know, the sacrifices are done for the Hadi. You know, so all these different, and the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so all these different acts of worship, also, you know, the cutting or shaving of the hair as well. So all these different acts of worship are taking place all on this day. Like, subhanAllah, there's no day, if you look at all the days of the year, there's no day with so many different acts of worship are all taking place on the same day. And even for the rest of us, you know, this day is a day of Eid and festival for Muslims all over the world. And, you know, as you know, there's the Eid prayer, there's the dhikr of Allah, subhanAllah, that's taking place, there's the khutbah al-Eid, there's the udhiyah, making a sacrifice. So, subhanAllah, so this is showing you the virtue of the day of Adha. And there's a hadith in a Tirmidhi where the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the day of Arafah and the day of sacrifice and the days of At-Tashriq are a festival for us Muslims, and they are the days of eating and drinking and remembering Allah. So just to say here too that, so you've got the day of Arafah, you've got the day of An-Nahr, right, day of Adha, and then the 3 days coming after the Eid, the 3 days coming after the Eid, these are also days we're not allowed to fast. We're not allowed to fast on the 3 days coming after the Eid. Okay, and these are days also of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to come in a minute and speak to you about how the special way of doing dhikr in these 10 days and even in these last 3 days, there's special ways of doing dhikr that's been mentioned in the sunnah. Okay, so now we come to, as you said, you want to know, like, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, like, it wasn't written for us to do Hajj this year. So what can we do to seek nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these days, in these magnificent, blessed days? What can we do, subhanAllah? So subhanAllah, like we said, there's no better deed that a person could have done except for, you know, for example, Hajj and Umrah, because the Hajj, the accepted Hajj, the reward for it is, you know, the accepted Hajj, there's no reward for it except for Jannah. And even there's another narration that mentions the Hajj Mabrur, that, you know, the accepted Hajj, you know, the person, you know, they become purified from their sin, just like the day their mother gave birth to them. So obviously, first of all, when approaching these 10 days, okay, how should our approach be? First of all, dear sisters, we should start these days by making tawbah to Allah. If we want to be guided to righteous deeds in these 10 days, then we should start by making tawbah. Because tawbah is a door, like once you, you know, humble yourself to Allah, ask Him for forgiveness, that's a way for Allah to open up the doors of khair for you. It's a way for Allah to guide you to the good and to, you know, to guide you to righteous deeds. But if we're coming to these 10 days with sins in our heart and, you know, be persisting on sins, then those sins can be a barrier from us getting closer to Allah in these days. Okay, so that's why the priority, first of all, is to start off with sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then our plan, obviously, before thinking about doing nawafil things like voluntary acts, we should be worried about our fard things. You know, like your fard prayers, just like you're worried in Ramadan for your fard prayers and stuff like that, praying them on time and all those things. That should be a priority. How would you expect to get close to Allah with all these extra deeds if you're not even worrying about your fard actions, which Allah has made obligatory upon you? So you first of all, you know, worry about getting your fard affairs, you know, your obligatory actions, any major sins, try to, you know, get rid of those, inshallah. Okay, so coming to the specific things that's mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah from the ways to get close to Allah in these days. So from the ways, we know that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to fast the first 9 days. He used to fast the first 9 days. Of course, it's haram, it's forbidden to fast on the 10th. It's also haram and forbidden to fast on the 3 days after the Adha. So it's not allowed to fast on these days unless you're in Hajj and you didn't take your hadi, or, you know, there's exceptions for people in Hajj. But for people here, we were not allowed to fast on those 4 days. And of course, especially the 9th day, like we said, if you can't fast the first 8, then you try your best not to miss the 9th. Because like we said, look at the reward for fasting the 9th. Okay, and then from the other righteous deeds which are mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah, like I said before, Allah Ta'ala says, وَيَذْكُرُ اسْمُ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ, that, and to mention the name of your Lord in the known days. And the hadith, you know, there's a hadith that mentions about how, you know, the Messenger of Allah said, like I said before, about how we should be trying to, make a lot of tahleel, which is saying La ilaha illallah, and takbir, Allahu Akbar, and tasbih, Subhanallah. So we basically from the moment that these 10 days come in, sisters, you should try to fill your every moment as much as you can with saying Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Also to say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. So to say this as well, this is called Takbir al-Mutlaq. Takbir al-Mutlaq means it's the general takbir. So in these 10 days, just to make something clear, there's something called the takbir al-mutlaq, and there's something called the takbir, which is like the specific takbir. Okay, so starting off from these 10 days, when they first enter, at all times of the day and night, you try to do a lot of, you know, remembering Allah, subhanAllah, astaghfirullah, like at every moment, try to fill the day with dhikr. And as with before, like what's the best dhikr ultimately is recitation of the Quran. Okay, but when you're not reciting the Quran, you do a lot of dhikr, you're cooking, whatever you're doing, changing the baby, you know, whatever, you know, you're doing a lot of dhikr, okay? And it's mentioned about how, you know, even Umar and Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, they actually used to, you know, how beautiful it used to be living in the time of the Sahaba, that they used to go out into the marketplaces. Like, look at the marketplaces now, everyone's just, like, all they worry about is their dunya, running after, you know, buying all their, you know, their dunya things, and the music's going, and no one's thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the time of the Sahaba, subhanAllah, they would go into the marketplaces and they would start saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, like this in the marketplaces. And the people would hear them and everyone would start remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, they would make the marketplace, which we know the Messenger of Allah told us, the marketplaces are the places of the shayateen. They are one of the main places where the devils gather, because there's no remembrance of Allah in those places. So they would actually make those places alive with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah. So that shows you the difference between their time and our time. That, you know, we are mahrumin. Like, we are deprived people living in his time, but may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it up for us, inshallah, because yani doing deed at this time is harder, you know, it's harder for us, so inshallah our reward is greater, because we're living in a time of fitna, so doing good deed at this time in the time of fitna is greater in reward, inshallah, bi-idhnillah. Okay, so we talked about the general takbir, right, and general dhikr of Allah that starts from the beginning of these 10 days, and this general takbir, it lasts, like the scholars differed, some said it finishes on the 10th, which is the day of Adha. Some said it lasts all the way up to the end of the third day. Okay, so that's the general dhikr. In general, just filling those whole days with dhikr of Allah. Now we come to the specific takbir, right? What happens is, on the day of Arafah, which inshallah, like I said, not this Tuesday, the Tuesday after Fajr. So after you pray every Fajr prayer, from then onwards, you sit after your prayer, you say, Astaghfirullah, 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 like it's in the Sunnah to do that. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta ya dha jalali wal ikram, like as normal, that's what we always do, right? And then we say Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, walillahil hamd, okay? We do that three times, like we just say it three times after every single Fajr prayer. It starts on the day of Fajr of Arafah, exactly. And you do that for every single Fajr prayer through the day of Arafah, through the day of Eid, even the 3 days coming after Eid al-Adha. You're continuing to do that. The last time you say it is on the third day after Eid. The last time you say it is an Asr prayer. Because why? Because remember in Islam that once Maghrib comes, that's the start of the new day that comes after it. So that's why we don't do it after Maghrib on the third day after Eid. Okay? For the people in Hajj, they do that specific takbir. For them, it starts on the day of Adha after Dhuhr. So it's different for the people in Hajj than for us. Okay, so but we're worried about us. Okay, so now from the other things that are specifically mentioned as far as, you know, what we can do to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these days is to offer an udhiyah. Now, in general, the udhiyah, which is like a sacrifice on behalf of every family, okay? Now, the udhiyah, it's considered to be a sunnah mu'akkadah, like a confirmed sunnah. Like, the majority of the scholars, they say it's a confirmed sunnah, but some said it's a wajib even, so it shows you how emphasized it is. So as long as someone can afford it, that every household should offer an udhiyah, which is basically normally like a sheep on behalf of a family. But I want to mention something here too, that it doesn't have to be just one sheep you offer. Like, maybe the wife has money and she wants to do one on her behalf of herself, for example. The leader of the household, it's their responsibility to offer the udhiyah on behalf of the family. And obviously, normally the leader of the household is the breadwinner, which is the husband, right? But just say the woman had money and she wants to do an udhiyah too. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, in fact, it's very mustahab and very encouraged to offer an udhiyah. I think that maybe Allah, and if you were here last week, so the sheikh probably explained to you a few things about the udhiyah, but I'll just go over it because not everyone was here. If you're planning to offer an udhiyah, like a sacrifice, yourself, not your husband, yourself. Whoever's the one doing the udhiyah, so if it's your husband doing it, okay, so he's not allowed to cut his hair or remove any skin or, you know, cut his nails from the first day of Dhul-Hijjah. He's not allowed. If you're going to offer a sacrifice, so you can't go get a haircut, you can't remove the sort of fitriya, like, you know, that in Islam we're supposed to remove underarm hair. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith in Muslim, when you see the new moon of Dhul-Hijjah and one of you wants to offer a sacrifice, then let him refrain from removing anything from his hair or nails. In another narration, his hair or skin. Now, what is the wisdom behind this? If you think about it, when a person's in ihram, in Hajj, part of the ihram, when you go to Hajj and you're in ihram, part of the ihram is it's not allowed to remove hair or nails or skin intentionally. Okay, it's a violation of ihram if someone does that without an excuse. Okay, so we are, by offering this udhiyah, we are sharing with the people in Hajj. Like, it's something uniting us and bringing us together. Like, they're going to offer their hadi, their sacrificial animals. We're going to, inshallah, offer our udhiyah. And as well as that, we're not going to remove our hair or nails or skin, just like they're not doing that in their ihram. Okay, and part of that, the scholars said, is because so that you're not supposed to touch your nails or hair or skin until your sacrificial animal has been slaughtered, right? So once your your animal has been slaughtered, then it's okay to cut your nails or hair or skin. So even on the day of Eid, you should wait until, say, example, the night before you cut your nails and hair or skin. They said part of that reason is so that that sacrifice reaches Allah. Why do we do a sacrifice? Why do we do it? Because we want to seek nearness to Allah. It's like you want to ransom yourself from the fire with this udhiyah, right? You want to save yourself from the fire. It's a way of getting close to Allah through this udhiyah. And also you hope that by giving this, that maybe Allah, inshallah, will save you from the fire. So if you want to be saved from the fire, you want all of you to be saved from your fire, every little piece of you, right? So that's why, that's from the wisdoms of why we don't take from the hair or skin or nails. So that's basically regarding the udhiyah. And besides that, on the day of Adha, we have all the righteous deeds of the Eid prayer. So we shouldn't miss out on the Eid prayer, no matter what. We see how much the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, emphasized the Eid prayer. Even the woman who's in her menstruation, you know, she's even urged to go out. Even because in the time of the Messenger of Allah, ladies didn't used to go out that much. And how we know that is because some of them didn't even have outer garments, because they used to always stay home. They didn't even have an outer garment to go out in, because they never go out of their house. So that's why he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let her borrow one from her sister. Like, if she hasn't got something to wear, let her borrow something from her sister so she can come out and witness the day of Eid. So that's part of how we are trying to seek nearness to Allah, like sadaqah, obviously, especially on the day of Eid, to make sadaqah, you know, charity, and, you know, remembering Allah, doing a lot of dhikr on the day of Adha, listening to the khutbah. You get rewarded for listening to the khutbah. It's not wajib to listen to the khutbah of Eid, sisters, not wajib, but it is definitely something you get rewarded for. So, like, if you know that from the 10th day, that good deeds done in these days, you know, that there's nothing more beloved to Allah than good deeds done these days, you want to try to, everything, yani any moment, any opportunity comes up to do a righteous deed, then you don't miss it. And especially, as you know, Eid in general is about silat al-rahim, maintaining the blood ties. All right, so that's one very righteous deed to Allah, to maintain those blood ties, make up for people who you've had a fight with, you know, ask them for forgiveness, you know, go to the Eid prayer with a smiling face, of course not to brothers, a smiling face to your sisters only. Try to, you know, smile with your husband, your children, bring happiness. Everyone should avoid being grumpy on Eid. It's not from the manners of Islam, or it's not something love to Allah that someone is being, you know, arguing or something like that on Eid. No, Eid should be a special day where there's no arguing. Everyone's being really kind and bringing the happiness to the hearts of the Muslims around them, inshallah, and spreading the love, you know, hugging each other on Eid, saying taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum. So just all about, you know, all those things are all righteous deeds which Allah loves. Allah loves, you know, He loves us to have love for each other for the sake of Allah. He loves us to have, you know, to bring love to our families and happiness to our families. So don't overlook any righteous deed on the day of Eid al-Adha. And like I said, and don't think that, you know, a lot of people think on Eid, I'll just go and shake hands with men and wear some colourful clothing, and who cares if I wear my high heels to the mosque and my mascara and my false eyelashes. They think like that, and they don't realise that, subhanAllah, like in these times when deeds are multiplied in hasanat, you don't realize that sins done in these times are also worse. Sins done in times where there's, you know, extra multiplication of hasanat, sins done in these times is also worse. So subhanAllah, we don't want to be from those people who, you know, may Allah protect us, gets the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing sins in these righteous days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq, success, bi'idhnillah, to seek nearness to Him in these 10 days, inshallah. وَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ وَلِي وَلَكُمْ وَسُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ